No, I think it's cute.
I knew we were doing something on prejuvenation today, and so I was like trying to go back to my 20-year-old cheerleader self. Actually, that was more 16. Who am I kidding? my 20-year-old self was a hot mess. Oh, there's something going on outside.
Something. Well, it's called New York City, dear.
I know.
How much fun was that?
I love Dr. Yimrick. She's the absolute best. And it's funny. I want to say that we're now like a couple weeks past Halloween. However, I remembered last night, I was walking around in the subways and I saw this guy coming up the subway and he looked like he had just had Halo laser. And then I saw his son come behind him and they just had some, I don't know if they were demons, but their faces were just red. You know how you and I are always like, if you're going to do the laser, do it on the Thursday. What you really want to do is you want to do it on October 28th. I'm not kidding because when it's bad in the 2 days, I'm telling you, Ryan, I'm signing us up. October 28th, you will have the red peeling nonsense, but people will just think it's part of your look.
Sure. Oh my goodness. AKA your prejuvenation.
You're all welcome
for the holiday. Oh my God.
Hey everyone, I'm Amber.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Art Beauty, the real truth
about the fake shit. So for a while, when I saw this on the calendar, I just saw prejuvenation, but I read it as like vaginal rejuvenation. I don't know why. I forgot the conversation before I went there and I was like, oh my God, that's really cool. Pleasantly surprised. What a fun conversation.
That it wasn't about the vagina. It was about how to
listen. It's something for everyone.
And that's it. It's how to turn back the hands,
slow down.
It's how to slow down, right? Because we can't stop aging. It's going to happen no matter what. That said, we can certainly postpone not only sort of how we look, but then the need for more intense procedures like a facelift.
So they're really, truly, we discussed something for everyone. So if you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, this is like the perfect episode for you. Yeah. It includes everyone. It includes, I don't care who you are, what you are, where you are. This one's for you. Mm-hmm. The one thing we did not discuss, which I'm going to just segue into myself too. So moving right along. I think in my profession, another thing that really, truly helps slow down is fuller hair. As we age, 20s, 30s, I mean, I lost my hair in my 20s. It sucked. And at the end of the day, the fuller your hair is, no matter what length, whether it's short, medium, or long, it's just lush and it's youthful looking.
Yep.
So I'm going to transition now. I've been honest and open. I've had, you know, I've worked with a couple doctors and I've had a couple, you know, I've used really expensive stuff.
Yeah.
As that has, you know, I kind of segued out of my agreement to try other things. And I didn't want to set myself up for like the $300 bill every month. And I joined, and I'm not getting paid, Hims. And I just sent this to Tom.
You sent it to Tom. It smells so good.
So good.
It smells so good.
It is a shampoo.
Yeah. Can you Hims. Yep.
Hims shampoo, okay. Mm-hmm. Which kind of deactivates the DHT and what causes baldness and hair loss.
Oh.
They also have a phenomenal minoxidil, which is topical and not foam. A lot of people are allergic to the foam. So when you see like the foam in CVS, doesn't work for a lot of people. This is just the topical solution, which has less quote unquote, it's just better for more. And then there is a gummy situation, which is biotin, which guys don't always take biotin. There is a gummy bear my shelfie today is repping the boys and thicker, fuller hair, your best hair that you can possibly have at a very affordable subscription. I love it. It's a game changer.
Do you know what it costs you every month?
I believe it's like $49.95.
For per product or for all?
All in. Oh. All in. And, you know, a lot of people, there's a couple different, there's a couple different packages. There's a couple different options. You can actually also add in some erectile dysfunction pills. You can right. add in, they have a lot of options if you have other needs that you want discreetly shipped to your door.
So I also want to say this, because I've seen in New York, I always see now the ads, and actually I've been watching a lot of football. So there's a lot of, they're running, Hims is running big promotions right now. But if you Google it right now, I feel like on the subway, and I can't remember what the code is, there are discounts off your first order. So just Google, and I'm sure you can find a coupon code for that.
Yeah. And ladies, for the men in your life, it's a very, very easy add on to the shower. It doesn't mm-hmm. like, it doesn't take up a lot of space. He's going to go, oh, what's that? And probably use it. It smells great. That just the shampoo alone without the conditioner, my hair is super thick, super full, super lush. I'm all in. I really like it. And it's super affordable.
Love it. Okay. Wait, where my shelf? So going pony. And a couple weeks ago, we've been talking about this, Halloween, had a party. My girlfriend went as Ariana Grande.
So good.
Ponytail. Had the huge Vivica A. Fox hair pony extensions. Yeah. And she asked, we were having her makeup done, and she asked the makeup artist, like, how do I keep my ponytail up all night? And the makeup artist said, "You, girl, you stick bobby pins in until your head hurts." Not wrong. But no. When I was doing my pony today, I remembered, and I've had these forever. It's the Goody
Coil
bobby hair pin. Bobby pins. And I mean, they just, you can just, you know, screw them right in and that holds. And you really only need one. You can do two. I think yeah. I looked them up on Target. Let's see if I can show you.
Super cheap.
They're here. Here they are. So you can see. And let's see, it's Goody and $5 for three of them.
Nice. I mean, round up to six, but who cares? And, and at the end of the day, like I said, they're awesome for like half up, half downs.
$2 a pin.
Yep. They're great for half up, half down, French twist, or the pony. That's, and you just got to try it and trust, because you can't really describe the security it gives you. Yeah, it's refreshing.
That's not going anywhere.
The cheapest facelift alive, a ponytail.
Right? Just boom, boom.
Yes.
Pull everything up. So our guest today, we've had her on before, Dr. Robin Gimrick. She is so smart when it comes to beauty. She mm-hmm. was an educator for almost 20 years at Columbia.
Yeah.
And now is a practicing, she's a board certified dermatologist, but she's now practicing at Union Square Laser Dermatology right here in New York City. And we really wanted to get into this concept of prejuvenation. What can we do in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s to sort of slow down the hands of time? But first of all, I wanted her to explain what exactly is prejuvenation. Awesome.
So where we start is really how do we prevent people from needing, let's say, a facelift in the future? Or how do we prevent them from having dynamic wrinkles? These are all sort of different aspects of aging. And so I think the most important thing is to start about talking about health. And I know it's boring, but we're going to say it a million times. Sunscreen is the number one preventative key mm-hmm. that, you know, is so important in terms of collagen breakdown, because as we know, you can buy all of these creams, do so many laser treatments, but there's only so much collagen and elastic tissue you can rebuild. So it's so important to be able to save the collagen and elastic tissue you have in your youth. But there's not, doesn't mean that it's hopeless for people who already have done some sun damage and, you know, want to rejuvenate. But right now we're going to talk about how to start preventing, and then we'll work our way decade by decade into the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, et cetera. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And, perfect.
And just to be clear, the idea of prejuvenation, it's not just one specific thing so much as a collection of things that we can be doing, steps we can be taking, whether it's products and or procedures to help not necessarily prevent aging, but postpone it, right? We can't prevent aging, but we can certainly maybe lessen some of the effects.
Slow it down.
Or slow it down, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'd like to say halt it, but that's not going to happen. Right. And that's really important because there's intrinsic aging and extrinsic aging. And intrinsic aging is aging that occurs genetically, chronologically. So even if we locked you in a closet and fed you only fruits and vegetables and you had all the phytochemicals that you wanted in your life, you would still age. And so that's intrinsic aging. But then there's extrinsic aging. And extrinsic aging are all the things that we can modify. So it's the avoidance of sun, it's eating well, you know, it's taking care of your body overall and preventing yourself from having further breakdown. Extrinsic aging actually is thought to be responsible for over 75% of what we see in the skin. So only 25% of that is intrinsic. And so don't think that, oh, my mom aged this way, so therefore I'm stuck going, you know, along this path. That's not necessarily true. There are some things about that that are true, but the majority of things you can modify by taking action early on.
So while I have you, because you are such a wealth of knowledge, Ryan and I are big fans of the Unseen sunscreen by Supergoop. But we found out, and on Supergoop's site, they're not trying to hide it, this product has silicones in it. So I am going to take us, how bad are the silicones to be putting on our skin every day in terms of like versus the fact that we're using sunscreen?
Not bad at all. If you have to weigh those two options, by far, you are not be worried about the silicones in the product.
Okay. Sweet.
You know, and by the way, people should use so much sunscreen that silicones become a problem. One of the main problems with sunscreen use is nobody uses enough of it. I mean, you should really be using literally a quarter size sunscreen for your face. How many people do that on a daily basis? Not that many. So, but you, yes. And look at you, right? You are...
And reapply though. Reapply?
I fall 2 to 4 hours. I don't do. So shame on me.
So with the Supergoop line, I had the most. We mapped it out. We did the Unseen Beautiful Primer. I then moved on to my BB cream that had more sunscreen in it. I then prompt out my day for like 2 to 3 hours. I touched up my makeup with a powder and then sprayed the setting spray with SPF in it. So I knew I could get to like lunchtime and then some with my second dose. Then what? Then it's like, do I keep spritzing that spray? You just do. You just go right over your makeup and you suck it up. But, you know, it's getting frightening now, like with the products and the ingredients and the synthetic ingredients that we just keep layering and layering and layering. But I guess you're right. If you want to weigh skin cancer versus the
unknowns, maybe, you know,
maybe we're going to roll that dice right now, huh?
Yeah. And we know for a fact that if you get ultraviolet exposure, not only are you going to age, you're definitely going to get a skin cancer. You might not get melanoma, but you will get a non-melanoma skin cancer with chronic sun exposure, like a basal cell or a squamous cell, which requires a surgical removal. Yeah. So we're talking about, you know, keeping ourselves looking wonderful. And then unfortunately you have to have a surgery on your face, which will leave you with a scar. So whatever motivates people, I'm here to help motivate them because it really does make a difference. Also, if you are really concerned about all of these things, then there are products that are available. You can get titanium and zinc oxide. They do not get absorbed. They may not be as cosmetically elegant all the time, so they're a little bit on the thicker side. So I really encourage people, whether they prefer chemical or a physical sunscreen. Chemical sunscreens are a little bit thinner usually, and they're a little bit easier to use. That if they're not going to use the physical blocker, then just please get a chemical sunscreen and right. use it on a regular basis, you know?
And know that for in order for a chemical sunscreen to work, you have to put it on 30 minutes before. So you can't, 100%. I tell my husband this all the time, you don't put it on at the beach. You have to put it on before because the chemical reaction that needs to happen with your skin takes at least 30 minutes to occur. So sunscreen number one, easiest thing we can be doing for rejuvenation.
Easy.
Let's get into some of the, let's break it down now by ages. And I think we should start from the bottom up, right? Because nowadays, millennials, people in their 20s are really taking a very active role in age prevention, more so than I think I was concerned with. So what are things in our 20s that we can be doing?
Okay, so I'm going to get the boring things out of the way first. We already covered the sunscreen. Here's the other boring topic that people sort of like, but don't necessarily want to hear too much about, but diet. Diet is huge. In your 20s, limit your sugar. Sugar has been shown now to really be a culprit in terms of skin aging, because what happens when you have excess sugar is that you make advanced glycation end products. And what those are the hardening of your proteins, particularly your collagen and elastic tissue. So right. one of the easy things you can do is just limit your sugar intake.
And also booze, let's be honest, right? Because what is Absolutely. That turning into? Sugar.
Absolutely. And alcohol in and of itself, regardless of whether it even has sugar, has been shown to break down collagen also. So, and of course, don't smoke. I mean, that goes without saying these days, but I have to say it anyway, because right. smoking, not only does it cause problems from the inside out with inflammation and carcinogens, but it also causes problems when smoke is on your skin. So the actual smoke being penetrated into your skin will break down and cause reactive oxygen species, which cause, basically, are little molecules that just destroy everything in their path. And that leads me to my next hack, which is antioxidants, because that's another thing you can start doing in your 20s is topical application of antioxidants, such yes. as vitamin C. And that's yes. key. I think there's no reason why everyone shouldn't be using a topical antioxidant.
Can I just go back to the smoking? Because, you know, with the current state sure. and what's on the news right now, that does mean hookah. That does mean Juul. That does mean cigarettes. That means everything. And people are like, well, it's not cigarettes. It's not bad. It's like, yes, it is. Do you agree?
100%. And I'm so glad you pointed it out. Because, you know, when I have real conversations with patients in the office, if we have time together to really talk, you find out these things. Oh, no, I don't smoke. You know, I just am, maybe I smoke twice a week, three times a week. Well,
then you smoke.
Half a week.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you smoke.
But there's a denial component to it.
And this
sure.
happy hour, this are happy hour, like hookah lounge. And then there's these Juul things. And then there's just so many, like if you ingest it and then you breathe it out, you smoke something.
Absolutely. 100%. So stay away.
Okay. So now we've covered smoking, we've covered sunscreen. Let's talk about some of the in-office procedures, because I will never forget in my 20s, there was a woman who said, you should really start getting Botox. It's preventative. And at the time I was like, you're nuts. You're crazy. I was offended. Now at 40 and with that much more, 20 more years of information about Botox, right. I can really say that, yeah, it is preventative. If you can't physically make that muscle, and you can see I definitely can't, you're not going to be able to form
yep,
that wrinkle.
It looks great.
But when do you think, I didn't start Botox till 35. So when do you think is the right time? Is that something to do in your 20s or your 30s?
Really depends on how you're aging. Some yeah. people from the time they're teenagers have, you know, a very, very strong frown, and they wind up having lines there that are staying around. So when your yeah. lines start to become apparent, even when you're not making that motion, you should definitely start your Botox at that point. Can you start it earlier? Sure, you can. If you start seeing these things happening and you can't actually stop making that motion because that's where you hold your thoughts or, you know, your concern, then really you should come in at any point in time and get evaluated for some Botox. Because if you don't make the motion, you won't make the wrinkle.
I started at 28. And everyone thought I was just being stupid and extra. Yep. And it was, you know, I was like the, you know, you're going to be the one with the plastic surgery issues. And, but I really trusted my doctor. And I didn't start with a lot, and it did, it made a huge difference, but I smoked as a teenager. I drank as a teen. I worked late nights. I did all the things you weren't. Now, my skincare was on point.
Tanning beds.
Tanning, you know, but I did all the other things you talked about.
Yeah.
And therefore, I was like, but I found Botox at a young age, and I thought I found the fountain of youth. And, you know, I have to say, I'm very grateful today as I approach 40. Cause I often now get, you don't look for, I mean, of course I've done other things now, but I started that at 28.
Right. You can say it. You don't look 40.
Also for other reasons, but yes, thank you.
but yes, hallelujah.
Starting young, yeah, really does make a difference.
Now, I want to address this because we're not necessarily encouraging you 20 somethings to go out there and get it. But I will say this, if you do get it, and just because you're 20, it doesn't give you the excuse to go and group on that. You want to be very careful with who is injecting your Botox. Am I not correct, Dr. Gimrick?
You are absolutely correct. And unfortunately, the laws are state by state. So some states have looser laws and who can inject. So, and the problem also is you're not really sure where they're getting the botulism toxin from. So we say Botox like there's only one of those type of toxins out there, but there's actually several out there. And there are places where people will inject toxins that are really not FDA approved in this country. They get them through Canada. They can get them through from China. And you're not really sure. But I will tell you, botulism toxin is, they keep the price up. And so if you're getting a dirt cheap, you know, botulism toxin, either they're diluting it to the point where you're probably not getting much toxin, or they're getting a toxin from a cheaper source, which should make you a little bit skeptical.
And a lot of skeptical. What is, would you say, the average, I know what I pay, but what is the average price for Botox per area? And I love that we have video now, because per area is like not your whole forehead. It's like this is an area and this is an area and over. Okay, yeah, you get my point. But what would you say is the average price?
The average price is about $400 to $650, depending on where you go. And depending on the expertise of the person who is injecting you.
Right.
And sometimes when you add on other areas, so if you do two areas, the second area may be discounted. And that's because if you already have the syringe and the room and all of the overhead costs are limited, if you're doing two areas or three areas, it may be more economical than doing just one area.
So I want to jump ahead though to, because we spent a lot of time in the 20s and not for nothing, start in your 20s, but let's get into the 30s, 40s, 50s where we really need
the cream
to be.
Rises mm-hmm, to the top. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay,
with 20 years old, they don't need it. Sorry.
Definitely in your 30s, you should be on a good facial regimen, right?
Okay.
So I would recommend, my recommendation is that people are on an antioxidant in the morning, generally something with a vitamin C. Vitamin C is so important as an antioxidant, but it's also a building block for collagen. So we're trying to do all of these things that are stimulating collagen. We need to make sure that we have the building blocks so that you can produce the new collagen. The second thing is at nighttime, I would recommend a vitamin A derivative, a retinol or, you know, retinoic acid, which is a retin A. And I would recommend, you know, we can talk about that a little bit more at some point, but I would recommend a vitamin A because those have been shown over and over again to stimulate both collagen and elastic tissue and also smooth the texture of the skin and take away some of the pigmentation that's now going to start to occur in your 30s. So I think that's very, very important. Of course, the sunscreens and everything at that point. Right. But I would also add some more invasive treatments. And when I say invasive, very mildly invasive, lots of little things will be additive over time. This is my 20th year in practice, and I have followed patients for 20 years. And I will tell you, two decades later, for them to look about the same, pretty good. So this is prejuvenation. This is what we're talking about. lots of little things, not burning your entire face off and having all the skin grow back. That is not for 30s. That is, you know, hopefully if you're doing all these things, you'll never have to do that to yourself. But doing low level stimulation of collagen, and there are several treatments. You can do at-home microneedling. That definitely helps. You can do in-office microneedling. And what microneedles do is they roll over the skin surface. They create small wounds in the skin, which create a wound healing response, and your body puts down new collagen. So that is constantly another way to stimulate your collagen elastic production. You can increase that even more if you use something like a light fractionated laser resurfacing tool, which is a Fractal or Clear and Brilliant. That will actually help also because it has a little bit of heat, which causes a collagen contraction in addition to causing the microscopic wounds, which cause the wound healing response. And those treatments, you know, obviously an at-home microneedling pen, it runs anywhere between, you know, $25 to literally $400, depending on the quality of the metals that are used. You should always, if you're using a microneedle pen at home, follow the instructions, start slow, increase as you tolerate, always clean it with alcohol after every use. And I would recommend even before every use, make sure that you don't have makeup on your skin when you're doing that, because you're actually going to be pressing all the makeup into your skin. And you can actually really, if with some of the makeups that are mineral based or have micas in them, those little sparkly elements, you can actually create a foreign body reaction, almost like you got a splinters all in your face. Ugh. Because your body doesn't recognize that as being something, obviously, that's it recognizes being something foreign. So there are some risks associated with them, but if you use them properly, they can really be a great adjunct in your 30s.
Okay, so now let's hit into our 40s.
Selfishly.
What do we do now?
Okay, so let me tell you, 40 and 40 and 40 and 40 and 40 are different. Okay. I see 40-year-olds. This is where I feel like the men and the boys are separated, for lack of a better expression. The reality is, it's the people who've been taking care of themselves from their 20s, they look different in their 40s than the people who have been not taking care of themselves until they walk into my office when they're 40. So
okay, fair enough.
In your 40s, we're going to tell you all the things that you can do, but the reality is that some people need more of these things and some people need less. By the time you're in your 30s, and even, I hate to say this, it's a very depressing fact, but even in your late 20s, your bone starts to resorb a little bit. So actually your face bone, your skull, starts to resorb. So you have less support. We really start to see this in the late 30s and early 40s. And this is where things like fillers come into place. Because if you don't have enough support for your skin, no matter what we're doing to your skin to stimulate the elastic tissue and the collagen and try to stop those dynamic wrinkles from movement, you're going to start getting what we call static wrinkles. The wrinkles that sort of stay around because the underlying structural support is starting to go. So at this point, depending on how you're aging, you would want to be considering doing maybe some fillers to give the skin the support that we need. In addition to all the other things, we would keep doing all those things. Just because we're not 30 anymore, we continue to do the Clear and Brilliant and the laser treatments and the microneedles and all of that, because there's no way that you can get away without combination approach to all of this. And people do very, very well with that little bit of support. I tell you, the first time people do filler and get that little lift back, you should see the way they come in. They're so happy. It's like a miracle was performed.
And doctor, and around this time as well, like from in between 40 and 50, and if you're a gal or a guy who doesn't have a lot of body mass, and I'm talking you work out hard, because that there is, we kind of start to see that we're a little closer to our end than we were before, and we get a little extra health conscious, some of us, and we lose a lot of body mass. Therefore, I just witnessed someone who did Invisalign in their late 40s, and it changed the entire shape of her face. And the fact that her teeth were aligned and a little bit more forward and a little less underbite, and her lips were a little bit more, it really made such a difference. And that surprised me. I haven't been like that surprised in a while, because not much else was done but her teeth. And just for her lower part of her face, it was a humongous shift.
Absolutely. And the structural changes that occur, they need to be addressed. And if you don't address them, I don't care what you do on the surface, you're not right. going to be able to get that support. And you're absolutely right. It's a great example of, you know, how the structure of the bone makes a big difference.
We did a podcast about chin implants, which I was surprised that, you know, more and more women are doing them. Because originally I thought it was like these big, beefy, you know, like people who masculine. Want the Jay Leno jaw, which is powerful and wonderful, but it's not. It's beautiful, stunning women, because again, it's helping to provide support, as you're saying, and structure to the face.
And the foundation of the jaw and the chin, it really does separate. It's your finishing touch. It is why most
100%.
It's why most women want to look like J-Lo again. Because that's all streamlined.
What is she doing? In your professional opinion, talk to me.
Okay.
So am I putting you on the spot?
Opinion. First of all, J-Lo is genetically blessed.
Yes.
Love J-Lo.
She's
been beautiful from the beginning. Her facial structure has always been like that. I mean, she may be, of course, I'm sure she's taking great care of her skin. I'm sure she's doing lots of little laser treatments and all of that. I don't know if she, I mean, it looks as if she may have had a rhinoplasty. I don't know. But the bottom line is I don't think she's doing too much invasive. I think she's doing lots of little things because she still looks natural. She looks fabulous, but she looks natural and beautiful. She doesn't look like someone else. And that is the goal for most of us, you know, just to try to enhance what we have and preserve what we have. Mm-hmm. When you mention the chin, though, you know, that's another thing that we can do with filler. So a lot of times we can do a little bit of an anterior projection. When you are sort of creating this fullness in, you don't have to create a wide chin. Some people think when we're doing chins, we're trying to make them wider. But really, we're trying to make them sharper and a little bit more anterior in their projection, come out a little, because that actually will help the jowl look tighter and it helps this under submental area. And these are two areas that in the 40s, we really start addressing. The jowls, and again, genetically, some people age with more fine lines and wrinkles, and other people age with more of a jowl or more of a, we call this muscle the platysma. The platysma kind of weakens and they get a little bit of a sagging here, which, you know, if you have fat there, can be addressed with sometimes injections. Kybella, which is a deoxycholic acid, it can actually be injected and dissolve. And when it causes its inflammation, which it does, for 2 weeks after a Kybella injection, you may be very, very inflamed. But that inflammation actually causes a little bit of fibrosis, so fibrotic tissue, which can cause the skin to tighten up in the area. You may need about 3 or 4 treatments to get your final results, but it can really work very, very well to make even this whole jowl and jawline area seem much more youthful. And that would be something definitely I see in the 40s.
I absolutely agree with you. And I'm going to raise my hand and not BS. I've done it. It's changed. That turned back the hands of time for me quicker than anything else, because I couldn't, no matter how much weight I lost, no matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of this. It was just a wrap. And I sat at Thanksgiving and I looked at my entire bloodline and I went, nothing I can do. You all have it. So
wait, you did Kybella?
I did not do Kybella. I did liposuction.
Lipo.
Because for me, I was already doing liposuction at the time. I was already paying the fees and the anesthesiologist and what have you. And I was already in good care. And while I was under, I said, could you please? Because when I added the add-on surgically was the equivalent to 2 Kybella treatments.
Yeah.
So for me at the time, it was just an add-on, but it was one of the best things I ever did.
Absolutely. And for some people, I still recommend liposuction because they don't want to go through the 2 weeks of swelling and then have to do it again and again and again. So they may need up to 4 to 6 treatments in order to get their results with Kybella. The advantage is they don't have to go for an anesthesiologist, et cetera, et cetera. But by the same token, they have that recovery time. And in New York City, where I practice, it's sometimes very difficult to have patients sign up for this treatment plan because of the recovery time that is involved. And you can't always predict who's going to swell and who's not going to swell. So they really have to make sure that for 2 weeks, you know, it's not an area you can hide.
although this time of year is brilliant for Kybella because you can wear scarves. So, or your neckline, Amber.
What about treatments like Ulthera? What are our thoughts on those?
I was just going to mention that. Ulthera, okay. this is the time.
Right.
Ulthera works, in my opinion, better for prejuvenation than for people who come in and they need a facelift and they want me to use an Ulthera, which is only going to give them anywhere between 10 and 30% improvement in the jowl area. And compared to a facelift, actually, there was a study done. If a facelift gave 34%, it was what it gave in the study, 34% improvement overall tightening, then Ulthera gave 10 to 16% improvement. So wow. We're talking about, you know, a small improvement. But having said that, when I take patients who are in their 30s, 40s, and even 50s, and they're starting to see this jowling, and you do Ulthera every year, once a year, you know, I definitely think it preserves their jawline. And so what Ulthera is, for people who don't know, it uses ultrasound and it uses a micro-focused ultrasound. And the reason why this is different from things like Fraxel is because Fraxel uses a light and that goes only on the surface of the skin. But the ultrasound, just like ultrasounds in the abdomen, this ultrasound is able to penetrate very deeply, and it goes down into the level of the fascia, which is the level that the plastic surgeons would pull when you have a facelift. And so what happens there is it causes heat to be generated, wounds to be created, and what happens is the heat causes the collagen to contract, and the wounds cause the wound healing response, which puts down new collagen and tightens up those fascial planes, and it tightens up so that you can have a lift. And it's the only device actually approved for lift in this country.
Wow.
Wow. I'm glad you, because I was going to ask you, like, okay, 40, or do we do Ulthera or do we do Fraxel? So if you want that deep tightening, Ulthera is the way to go. Because these aren't,
actually,
right?
You do both. Oh,
both.
Both.
I'm with you, doctor. You do both. You do. You do. If you can.
That is expensive, though. You're talking about, I mean,
no.
You're
but
like,
you don't
know,
have to
boo.
Do them both on the same day or the same time of year. Like right now is when I would do Ulthera, because you don't fully see Ulthera's full result for 6 months. You come off the table snatched. For the first week, you are like, it's I love it. But you truly want, it's the slow pot that will never boil. You'll never see it. But in about 4 to 5 months, your girlfriend's going to ask what's different in your skincare. And you're going to go, oh yeah, my secret was really done in December. But you're going to be ready for July. And when I mean ready, like all summer,
snatched. All right.
Fraxel, like 3 to 4 months later, put it on the different quarter. Factor it in on the beauty, on the beauty budget on a different quarter.
I love you, Ryan.
And Fraxel, you know, takes care of the surface. Ulthera takes care of a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Another treatment to consider in the 40s is, let's say you don't have a lot of jowl, but to Ryan's point, you're super fit, you're going to the gym all the time, you've lost a lot of fat in the face, you've done some filler. You don't want to do too much filler, right? Because you don't want to look like you've overfilled. You were never like that to begin with. You just wanted to create what you had. You do that. And then you still have this like thin skin laxity on the sides of the face there, what people call it the accordion. They say that look like an accordion. And they're like, when I look down at the camera, you know, we all look up at the camera because we want this back. So what can you do? Radio frequency microneedle treatments now, which have been out for the past 4 or 5 years, are really nice for this. So what they do is, in addition to just the microneedle component, which we talked about even starting in your 20s, as the needles go into the skin, they give you some radio frequency heat. Does not go as deep as Ulthera. So it's not for lifting. It's really more for tightening. And so that does nothing for pigmentation. So it's not going to replace your Fraxel. So unfortunately, here's another treatment that you could add to your regimen if you could.
Okay.
But it actually does a nice job to stimulate that dermis, which is the second deeper level of the skin, which can stimulate thickening of the dermis and tightening of that dermal area.
In New York, doctor, what's the price point for that one?
That's what I was going to ask. And Ulthera too.
Yeah. So for the price point, okay. Generally, it depends on where you are going.
Yes.
I mean, right. Again, we know that. If you're going to someone who's a board certified dermatologist, who's made this their career, et cetera, you're going to be paying a little bit more for the treatments. But of course, we do feel that we deliver a better treatment to you because we have knowledge in this. So the range is probably for a Fraxel anywhere between 1,000 and 1,500 per treatment for a full face, if that's a Fraxel dual. If you're doing lots of little things like the Fraxel Clear and Brilliant, that would be about $550 per treatment. Doesn't get as deep and it's not as high density.
And I wasn't going to let you keep going on with this, but for the Fraxel, the first one, the Fraxel Duo, do you need one treatment?
You never need one treatment, Amber. I'm so sorry, but that's the truth. And this is what people need.
So how many do you need?
Well, so it's funny.
More, right?
Look at the always. Forever. I mean, really, I'm being honest. Every day the collagen's breaking down. So what are we doing every year to stimulate new collagen? So the studies that are done by the companies who market these lasers, they say 5 treatments, 1 month apart each. And I laugh because, again, I practice in New York City. The downtime for a Fraxel dual is like 5 days. Who is coming to me once a month with 5 days of downtime, 5 months in a row?
No.
I mean, no one. Except if they're trying to treat something like acne scars. But
sure,
if we're
right.
talking about prejuvenation and rejuvenation, we're talking, you know, can you do one or two of these a year? If you can fit it in your budget and you can carve out that 5 days of downtime, my recommendation to you is do two or three a year, somewhere in the fall, the winter, and the spring, and then we skip the summer. I think that is that would be my ideal treatment plan. But even if someone could just do one a year, it's helpful.
Start with one, right. Okay, 1 to 2 to 3. 1 to 3. And then with the Ulthera, which has downtime as well.
No downtime.
Ulthera, no downtime.
No downtime.
So you leave there.
Just downtime on the wallet. Ulthera is expensive.
Yeah. Ulthera is about 3,000. It's anywhere, depending on what areas you're doing. You can just do the forehead. That will help give a little bit of lift into the brow area. You can do the lower face. Usually when we do the lower face, we also do the submental area, and you can also do the neck. So if you're going to get the whole kit and caboodle from here down, it's probably about 4,500, give or take. If you're doing lower face, it's about 3,000. If you're doing just the upper face, it could be anywhere around 1,500 for the upper face.
You can the whole thing is like 4,500?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And don't forget the décolleté. Ulthera is great for this.
The peach pit.
Yes.
Or you got to be wearing shirts like this.
A high neck for all. But the wrinkles that occur here, you know, and they're from if someone has a larger breast and they're compressing their breasts all the time, we see these vertical lines, you know, and then also, of course, there's sun damage that occurs. But the décolleté really responds very well to Ulthera as well.
And then the radio frequency, what was the price on that?
That's about the same as Fraxel. That's $1,500 per treatment, give or take.
So we're talking about, like, in an ideal world, you're looking at $7,000 to $10,000.
You're getting a mini facelift every year.
But let's talk, how much is a facelift?
So a facelift in New York City right now starts literally at $35,000 and can go up to the highest I've heard is $68,000.
Right. Yeah. And that you have serious downtime. So when you put it in that terms, because, you know, sometimes we get people writing in saying, what are you crazy? I'm not going to spend this. But I do like to point out, well, hey, again, we're talking about prejuvenation, about maybe postponing that facelift, you know, well into your 60s, 70s.
May never need to get it.
I think that's really the goal.
Yeah. Is that possible? You think you can just not have to ever have a... Really?
Yes.
I think it depends on your genetics to some degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do. I think that if your genetics are that you have very heavy jowls or that you have muscles underneath here that are just very weak, your platysma, you need something called a platysmaplasty, which is where they actually plicate the muscle up. And I don't think anything that we have, at least currently today in 2019, can actually approach that, even if it's minimally to marginally invasive. So there are also other things like Accutite, which I don't know if you've heard of that. Accutite uses radio frequency, but it pops a little probe underneath the skin and it creates the radio frequency waves down deep. So it's causing actually fat to dissolve. So if someone has a jowl that has fat in it also, it will cause the fat to dissolve and it will tighten at the same time because it has some heat associated. That, of course, more downtime, more risk, and higher expense.
Yes. I know my girlfriend just had that done in New York. Holy moly, that result is spectacular.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
And so what about our 50s? Would we say, like, you know, into our 50s, are there still prejuvenation things that we can be doing?
It's all prejuvenation still, in my opinion, because it's always, it's what are we doing? So my mind, prejuvenation is not starting before, you know, anyone gets anything and that's it. It only applies to people in their 20s. It's really prejuvenating to the next step. If you know right. next chronologically what's going to happen, we're just prejuvenating for a 40-year-old or for a 50-year-old. So yes, absolutely. And again, at that point, though, we're really starting to see, in my opinion, sort of the genetics of your aging, right? So everyone's kind of at the same starting point, 20s and 30s, but we really start to see who's going to have this thin, fine skin that needs one approach versus who's going to have this sort of thicker, heavy jowl that needs another approach. And it is at that point where we're really starting to decide, you know, does someone need a surgical intervention? If you have fat pads underneath your eyes, this is a good example. You know, honestly, you need surgery.
Right.
And I'm the first person to tell a patient who comes in asking for a cosmetic, you know, a non-invasive cosmetic result that, you know, we really should consider a surgical consult. If you really don't want to do that, we might be able to hide a little bit with fillers or tighten a little bit, but it is much more difficult under certain circumstances.
Dr. Gimrick at Union Square Laser Dermatology, tell us, how can they get in touch with you?
We call the office, 212-366-5400. We also can be reached by, I think, Instagram, Union Derm, and on our website, www.uniondermatology.com.
Thank you so much taking the time to be with
us
today.
Thank you so much.
And really helping to educate us on steps that we can take to hopefully postpone a little bit of the aging process. If you have any questions that you'd like us to ask Dr. Gimrick, you can always reach out to us, hello@artbeautypodcast.com. And of course, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Art Beauty Podcast. And Ryan, when are we going to see everyone?
As always, we're going to see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.